Blog Talk Radio.
The Political Universe Radio Show is on the air. Welcome to week four, everybody. I'm your host, Jason Eastley, and today we'll be talking once again with my co-host, Will Riddell, and we'll also have George Saroy in the second half hour talking about movies and politics. The big stories we're really going to hit on today involve Alberto Gonzalez and the growing U.S. attorney scandal, and John Edwards is deciding to stay in the presidential race. We'll also probably talk a little Hillary and Barack in the 1984 ad, too. So let's get on with the show, and I'm about to bring in my good friend, Will Riddell. Will Riddell, Will Riddell, Will Riddell, Will Riddell. Hey, Will.
Hello.
There you are. I thought the echo effect might go pretty nicely today.
Well, it was very lovely. I liked it a lot.
It kind of made you seem really special, you know. Oh, look,
yeah.
Will Riddell, everybody.
Hey.
Head for the hills, hide the women and children, and the rum.
Yeah.
So, I have to be honest. Normally, I have some topics, and I come to Will, and I say, how about we talk about A, B, C, and D? And Will usually says, hey, that sounds good, and then we go off and do the show. What happened this week was I said, well, let's talk about A, B, C, and D, and Will said, let's talk about the Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez. And I said, didn't we talk about the Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez last week? And Will said, but it's a big story. Let's keep talking about it. And you know what? It is a big story. It's a gigantic story.
It's an ongoing soap opera.
It's getting a little complicated. It is an ongoing soap opera. It's changing daily, sometimes two or three times a day as documents are released and revelations come out. So, Will, you wanted to talk about it. What did you want to say?
Basically,
I know, that just put you out of the spot. Teach you to hijack my topic list.
Well, it's not looking pretty good for the Attorney General right now.
Yeah, you know, I think Al's finished. Whenever Justice Department released the documents the other night that basically confirmed that he was at the meeting and he discussed it with his chief of staff, Kyle Simpson, and five other top Justice Department aides about how they planned the firing and how they would carry it out, and he signed off on it. He's looking very guilty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and this totally contradicts his earlier statements of about, he made them on March 13th, so about, you know, 12 days ago, that he didn't know anything about this, and he knew there were firings coming, but he wasn't involved with the details.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, he knew more than that, and the problem still is, everyone's getting caught up on, did they break the law? Is this an abuse of power? Should they have fired the attorneys? The big, big problem here is, did Gonzalez lie to Congress?
Right.
If Alberto Gonzalez lied to Congress, he committed a crime.
That's a big no-no.
Yeah. I think that's right in the Constitution. the Fifth Amendment to the Bill of Rights,
mm-hmm.
The big no-nos, don't lie to Congress. We're not going to like this. Now, I told you about Tony Snow's comment on Friday or Saturday that the White House does not need to be overseen by Congress, and Congress does not have the power of oversight over the White House.
Mm-hmm.
And, we both feel the same way, that Tony Snow's obviously high.
Well, I wouldn't say if he's high, but
He's drunk.
Well, not, maybe not necessarily drunk, but he's...
Wrong?
Yes.
Was that what you were looking for? I was going to give the guy an out by saying he had a substance abuse problem, but no, you just want to call him a damn liar. Okay. Yeah,
well, he's telling the truth from his viewpoint, point of view.
Well, he's giving his opinion, but Tony Snow doesn't apparently understand the Constitution.
Yeah.
Because constitutionally speaking, the Congress has the total oversight power of anything which they appropriate funds to. And as we talked about, unless the White House has been holding a bake sale on the South Lawn,
mm-hmm.
or a yard sale, yeah, you like those jokes, or a yard sale, you know, like George Bush's old running shoes, you know, with a little piece of scotch tape on them saying 50 cents or best offer.
Right.
Unless they've been raising their own funding for the executive branch, Congress has oversight power. And it's absolutely foolish, and they have to think because the American people are stupid to believe that they don't.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just because it's the money comes from Congress.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The money comes from the taxpayers, and it's appropriated by Congress. And basically, once Congress appropriates the funds, Congress constitutionally has the responsibility of oversight. Now, if you wanted to blame somebody for poor oversight for all these years, you could blame the Republican majority previously.
Right, because nothing – they didn't really – basically a hands-off type of thing. You know,
they didn't look at anything.
They didn't look at anything. I mean, they just pretty let everything go as
yeah,
they were.
Let the president do exactly what he wanted when he wanted. And even if – because I still believe the Democrats do not have the authority to get the troops out of Iraq. And unless the president agrees to give up some of his power, there's no way those troops are coming out of Iraq before he leaves office. Absolutely no way, unless the president decides to do so. But the reason why a Democratic majority in Congress is so valuable is for instances exactly like this. If the Republicans were still in control of Congress, would Alberto Gonzalez be under so much pressure?
Right.
Would this have ever really grown to be a scandal? No, because the Republicans wouldn't have held hearings, they wouldn't have scheduled hearings, and they would have brushed this under the rug.
Right.
Yeah. And so it is. It's a phenomenally big story, and I'll tell you the truth. Every time I write about it and post it on our blog, either our Political Universe Radio page at MySpace.com or my personal Zynga page, I get a lot of hits. People are following this thing, you know. We get a lot of hits on our MySpace page, a lot of views on the blog. People are really interested in this. And I think to just ignore it or say it's nothing is just doing a disservice. I don't watch much mainstream media. I don't really follow the cable news networks, or talk radio. Now, you watch MSNBC, you watch Fox, you watch a little CNN. Are they really covering this a lot?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is getting the top dog attention it probably deserves.
Right.
We haven't had a dead ditzy celebrity pop up for like a couple of weeks, so they have to go back to covering the real news.
Yeah. And if you want to join into the show and express your opinions, you can
on Alberto Gonzalez or anything else that's on your mind.
You can phone us in at 718-664-6734, or you can use your instant messenger and the AIM.
Reach us on AIM.
The AIM is CAPJ71. I can't talk today.
That part, I go, yeah, the news guy can't talk. This is going to be a long 60 minutes. But, we'll just have you sign language the news. That'll go really well on radio.
Right.
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you what. I can remember. The problem is I went to Will and I said, look, once we get this show going, I can never remember to remind folks of the phone number or our instant messenger ID in case they want to join in. So I said, Will, will you please, throughout the show, remind people that they can call in or instant message us? And he said, sure. And, you know, the thing I can't remember is the phone number. I can't remember it, and I have so many windows open during the show as it is, I don't want to actually be surfing around looking for more windows while I'm supposed to be talking. So I thought, hey, Will, you can keep track of this. I didn't think Will would not remember the instant messenger. I'll handle the instant messenger half, you handle the phone half, and then hopefully people will realize that if they want us to stop talking like a PBS pledge break, they just have to call in. Yeah, well, back to Alberto. You know, we've made this joke amongst ourselves before, and I think we made a similar joke last week.
Yeah.
Wherever you work, if you see President Bush coming into your office, the president comes up to you, puts his hand on your shoulder, and looks you in the eye and says either, heck of a job, or I have total confidence in you and you're doing a great job.
It has to be in front of the camera as well.
Yeah, you're dead. Call your wife, call your husband.
Start clearing out your office.
Yeah, you're coming home early, and you're going to have time for all those chores they've been telling you to do. You're not going to have a job by 5 o'clock. Okay. look what he said about Rumsfeld before the election and how Rumsfeld had his full support, and then
exactly.
The Republicans get blasted in the election, and Rummy's gone the next day.
Right, and then the Mike Brown.
Oh, Brownie. Heck of a job, Brownie. no, look, what, you're fired, go away. I'm telling you. I mean, if this man, if you even see the former President George W. Bush on the street, and you're selling hot dogs on the corner, and he buys a hot dog, and he says, heck of a job, hot dog vendor. Close your stand. Find another line of work. It's done for you.
Your hot dogs day selling are
done.
Yeah, your
hot dog selling days are over. Your dreams of becoming the Starbucks of hot dogs, finished. You know, the other really huge, we'll get back to Alberto a little later. Do you have anything in the news about Alberto?
Yes, I do.
Okay, then we'll let you handle more of Alberto later. Well, another big story is John Edwards deciding to stay in the presidential race, despite the fact that his wife has had a reoccurrence of her breast cancer. Now, Will, I'm going to ask you a very personal question.
Mm-hmm.
If you were in John Edwards' situation, we're not judging John Edwards, but if you were in his situation, what would you do? Would you have kept in the race?
Probably if she wanted me to.
Yeah, yeah.
Then I would have.
Yeah. Yeah, I have not read anywhere or seen or heard anyone criticize John Edwards for staying in. I mean, seriously criticize John Edwards
right.
for staying in. I think what this could turn out to be, as I wrote in my Friday column on 411mania.com, also called the Political Universe, notice the cheap plug, what I wrote in the Friday column was, A, no one's going to begrudge John Edwards if he has to quit the race if his wife's health sickens, or if she gets, or if her health takes another turn for the worse.
Right.
B, this is a very inspirational story. I think it sends a wrong message to cancer sufferers or people battling cancer if John and Elizabeth Edwards would just give up.
Right.
You know, they're showing through their actions that you can live through cancer, you can battle cancer, and you can keep going.
Right.
You don't necessarily have to act like it's a death sentence.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if she does beat it, it's going to be a very inspirational story for a lot of people out there.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not saying how this is going to reflect on his presidential campaign in any way, shape, or form, but I think just from a point of view, if you contrast the Edwardses to the Clintons, let's say.
Right.
The Edwards family is a family you can really root for. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The Clintons, not so much.
Yeah,
I just don't know how else to put it with the Clintons. I mean, we had 8 years of Bill, we had the scandals, we had all that stuff, and I don't know what else anyone could possibly say that we haven't already all seen and lived through about the Clintons' dysfunctional relationship that needs to be brought up again. But you were going to say Edwards?
Well, I was just going to say that the Edwards family has gone through a lot.
Yeah.
They've lost their son
10 years ago or 11 years ago almost now. And and she's already had one battle with cancer. And I personally will tell you this right now, you know, and I think the people out there know, I voted for John Edwards in the 2004 primary here in Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
So
did I.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I'll support him again. I've been writing everywhere, or anyone who ever asks me, I'm trying to keep an open mind. That includes Democrats and Republicans, because it is so early in the process. I don't want to close my mind and pick my person, and then if I'm dissatisfied with them later, I won't know anything about any of the other candidates.
Right.
I want to keep an open mind and kind of see how things play out and what they have to say. Mm-hmm. I honestly, you know, I mean, I've done my share of Hillary bashing.
Right.
If Hillary had any consistency in her positions at all, and I thought I could trust her,
yeah,
I would even consider voting for Hillary Clinton.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I have an open mind. All she has to do is show me that she's going to be consistent with her positions, and if I would happen to agree with them, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's the other big thing. If I disagree, I don't care what. I don't care if it's Hillary. I don't care if her name was Hillary Clinton, Reagan, Lincoln, Washington, all the former presidents, and they win the history of the country.
Right.
I still wouldn't vote for her if I disagreed with her.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know you feel the same way. You actually take your voting responsibilities very seriously.
I do.
You really do.
I do. I mean, I research the candidates.
You're one of those people who researches all the candidates in, like, every important race. You know, you even know who local candidates are. I mean,
yeah.
you take it very responsibly and very seriously.
When you go vote, it's not just someone, you know, you're not as – it's something that you should take seriously,
yeah.
Because you're voicing your opinion on what direction you want to take your local area, your state area, or even your national area could go in.
And if I can just throw something out there, a lot of people take their, let's say, election for governor, election for senator, and elections for president seriously, or at least semi-seriously.
Right.
The problem is they don't take their local elections seriously, and those local elections determine a lot of what happens in your daily life and what your government does.
Oh, yeah.
Those local elections are critical. The local election will have more impact in 99% of the cases than either the state or federal election.
Right.
They make policy decisions when it comes to school boards, at least in Pennsylvania. They said they attach millages to property tax values. Everything. Everything runs through your local government. So please, I mean, it doesn't take that long to get to know, to maybe sit down and look at the local paper and see who these local city council people or county commissioners or whatever you have in your area, city or town or village that you live in, whatever they may be, get to know where they stand. Take a few minutes and see where they stand and make an informed choice.
Mm-hmm.
You'll regret it if you don't. Now, I just got way off subject there. This is like one of those NBC, the more you know, public service announcements. I'm just waiting for the more you know music to play in the background. I'm Richard Belzer from Special Victims Unit, and I'm telling you to go vote. The thing is, people don't take voting seriously. People get caught up in the moment. People like the competition.
Right.
They want to root for it. They want to pick a favorite and root like a sports team.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the ability of voters to simply make their decisions based on whether or not they like somebody.
Right.
Voters decided that they liked George W. Bush more than John Kerry.
Mm-hmm.
They decided they liked Al Gore more than George W. Bush in 2000, but, you know, due to some likely shenanigans, whether they be intentional or not in Florida. Well, I think actually the ballot just might have been naturally confusing, and it was an innocent mistake. But then the Republican officials there got a hold of it and said, "Woohoo! This is our ticket in." You know what I mean? Jackpot, ka-ching! And then they were going to make sure their boy won.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is when voters are either turned off on a candidate or tuned out a candidate because something about them rubs the voter the wrong way. That's the wrong way to go about things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I'll be honest with you. We talked about this last week. I am morally opposed to basically Bill Clinton's conduct. I don't like the Clinton's seemingly ethical issues. I don't like the I don't like that they seem to have trouble with the truth.
Right.
As a person, as a human being, that's not the kind of thing I'm in favor of. Some people it wouldn't matter to. They wouldn't care. To me as a human being, as a person, I wouldn't like that. But that necessarily wouldn't stop me from voting for Hillary Clinton if I agreed with her positions.
Mm-hmm.
Like the personal scandal, the ethical scandal, that may not bother me so much if I agreed with her politics.
Right.
You know, I mean, but for me, a lot of people make those decisions. A lot of people who make their decision, they're not like me. They look at, does this person go to church? Does this person like guns? Is this person a Christian? Does this person seem nice?
Right.
That's how they make their decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you get what you pay for. And candidates know this. I mean, candidates basically design, pay for, and manufacture an image designed to – supposed to appeal to voters like that.
Right.
So they're not really seeing the real person when they make their decision based on a personality trait.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're seeing what the campaign wanted to put out there. But
yeah.
Back to John Edwards, I really do think, though, in the long run, this is going to – unless Edwards pulls out a really strong victory somewhere initially,
mm-hmm.
or has beats either Clinton or Obama in Iowa, South Carolina, New Hampshire, if he has to have at least a second-place finish somewhere,
right.
Then I think his campaign's still viable. If he runs a distant third with his wife's health problems, with all the questions about how long he'll really stay in the race if her health takes a turn for the worse and he has to go home. I don't see how his campaign can survive.
Right.
The whole campaign season. Now, if his wife recovers and it becomes a great inspirational story, politically speaking, that's going to boost him immensely.
Right.
Like, for those of you who are curious, tonight on 60 Minutes, John and Elizabeth Edwards sit down for their first interview. at 7 o'clock on CBS. Boy, they ought to pay me for that. But, but yeah, then that's the kind of thing. I mean, yeah, they're doing this to talk about her cancer and their decision. But you know what? In politics, they're also thinking about the campaign and the positives that can come from an appearance on 60 Minutes with your wife who's battling cancer and the togetherness that shows your family. I never thought I would see the day in the near future anytime where Democrats would have the family values moral candidates except for Hillary Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at the Republican side. Look at McCain. Look at Giuliani. You know, these are – and Newt. I mean, these are people with some serious personal moral issues. You know,
mm-hmm.
and I never thought I'd see the day whenever everybody would be like, oh, the Democrats are family values.
Mm-hmm.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you really think you'd see that day?
Really? Yeah, really.
Will, are you awake?
Yeah, I'm awake.
Did I just put you to sleep?
No.
I better start asking you questions before you nod off on me, and I'll be doing the show solo. Yeah, so what do you think the impact of her diagnosis and his decision to stay in the race is going to be?
Well, I think the big question is, if he does get to the White House and she becomes ill again, how is this going to affect his job as president?
Yeah. I mean, that's a gigantic personal distraction. I mean, to have a sick spouse, a sick loved one, a sick child with you, and the presidency is a 24/7 job. It's not like he can go to work from 9 to 5.
Yeah, and he's going to be on, you know, he's going to be traveling a lot, so.
Yeah. Well, you can always adjust the presidential travel schedule. I mean,
yeah.
You don't have to travel as president. If you want to plop your butt down in the Oval Office in Washington, D.C. and not move for 4 years, mm-hmm. you pretty much can do that. You know, I mean, Ronald Reagan wasn't a big traveler.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, Bill Clinton was always out there everywhere apologizing for slavery or the Civil War or the American Revolution or whatever he needed to apologize for that for America. But he loved doing that. He loved going to the functions. He loved working the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And he was really good at it. You know, as far as Edwards goes, I mean, Edwards just has a natural charisma. The criticism I see about Edwards all the time, and I hear from people who don't support him, is he's all style and no substance.
Mm-hmm.
That there's no real depth to his positions, that, you know, he's not a big – it's almost like he's a celebrity candidate.
Right.
He's a pretty boy celebrity candidate. That's what people try to label him as. Let's see. Oh, we got to use our last minutes before the news to talk about the infamous Vote Different YouTube ad.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, that. I asked you last night, because believe it or not, kids, we don't just slap this thing together. We actually sit down and talk about it for at least 5 minutes beforehand. I asked you last night if you had seen the Obama 1984 ad. And I'll ask you again, have you seen it, and what did you think of it?
I have seen it, and it was pretty interesting.
Yeah, I mean, you can be straight up. I wrote on our blog that I liked the ad. I thought it was just as an ad,
yeah,
a good ad.
It
I'm
was.
Saying I agree with it, but you know, it was a good ad.
Right.
Now, I mean, do you personally like that kind of ad? Do you like that kind of political advertising, or is it a little too cutesy for you? You know what I mean?
I would say it was very effective.
Now, what did it make you think of? When you watched that ad, what did you think about?
Well, I thought about, obviously, George Orwell's 1984, and also the Apple computer commercial.
Well, no, and did you make a political connection there between 1984? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Did you make the political connection when you were watching that ad? Did that ad make you doubt Hillary in any way?
It did.
That was the point of the ad.
Yeah,
No matter whether it was done with the Obama's consent or not, that was the point of the ad. Did it make you see Hillary in a different light? Did it make you think of Hillary a different way? And by using an ad that is so culturally famous as the Apple 1984 ad,
mm-hmm.
that ad that I wrote only aired nationally once on television.
And that was during the Super Bowl.
During Super Bowl 18, after the first commercial break, after the second half kickoff. And no, I don't remember this. I read it. I looked it up. I'm not even really sure who played in Super Bowl 18 now.
Oh, wait, no, Super Bowl 18 was the Washington Redskins and the L.A. Raiders.
Good Lord.
38-9, the L.A. Raiders won.
You remember this, but
yeah.
You can't remember our login information for anything. And you can't remember our username for AIM. By the way, if you want to call us on the show, what should they do, Will?
Yeah, they should call in to 718-664-6734, or our IM username is CAPJ71.
On America, on AIM, America Online Instant Messenger Service. So, yeah, you're really having trouble today.
A little bit.
I'm just throwing you curveballs left and right today. If I'm throwing you off, I apologize. I'm not trying to throw you off. But this ad, you know, I think it's also really interesting that this ad, the 1984 ad, the Vote Different ad, I think it's its official title, this ad generated all this stir, and it never aired anywhere except on the Internet. It was downloaded a million times and probably much more than that.
Wow.
By now. By as of Friday, it had been downloaded a million times on YouTube. Now, how smart do you think it would be for potential candidates out there to start making ads strictly for the Internet?
And very.
Not the sitting still candidate ads that we've seen so far, but to do things that are a little more edgy, a little more creative, and a little more grassroots.
Because I think that would be smart because a lot more people are spending their time online.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I was reading somewhere I was watching the PBS the recent Frontline installment on the media, the first three parts. And they had an expert on who said very few people between the ages of 20 and 30 get their news from the nightly news. They go to the Internet.
Wow.
They're getting their news from the Internet, from the Daily Show. They're getting their information elsewhere. They're not getting it from traditional sources. They're not picking up the newspaper. Now, they might be reading the online version of a newspaper, which I do. I mean, I know I should go out and buy a paper, but frankly, I don't want to have to recycle tons of paper all the time, and it just seems like a waste. So I read online editions, especially of newspapers that I can't buy in my area. I can pick up a copy of, let's say, the Pittsburgh paper or local town paper, either Pittsburgh paper or the local town paper, but I cannot get necessarily a daily copy of the New York Times without specifically going to our newsstand.
Right.
You know, a weekday edition or the Washington Post, you know, and subscribing to those kind of things whenever home delivery is so sporadic isn't very effective because we basically live in a rural community. We live in a rural college town, Will and I. So there's not really a lot of options for us. But, yeah, I mean, I think the Internet is going to be the wave of the future for campaign advertising. I still don't know if politicians are smart enough to realize that you can't put the same content up on the Internet that you're putting up everywhere else and expect people to jump after it and read it. You have to give them something different. If you're not going to give them something different, they're going to it's a fast food information culture online. If they're going to look for something fast, they want the information quick, and they want to move on to the next thing. And they don't want to read something they've already seen on their TV or on TV or heard on the radio on the way to work or school.
Right.
You know, it's got to be different.
Right.
It's got to be creative. It's got to be different.
And that's a big problem with a lot of the major cable news networks.
Okay. Okay.
Covering a lot of the same stuff, and
they just keep running it. They have a 24-hour news cycle to fill, so even when there's no news, they just keep going. With
the dog crossed the road. Whoopee.
The same thing over and over again. Update on that dog crossing a road in Provo, Utah. This is CNN breaking news. It does get that way on slow news days. You have to admit, I mean, it really does. Oh, look, there's a building fire in Houston, Texas. Let's get the live pictures.
And then you'll see the same thing in, you know, like Wolf Blitzer's The Situation Room.
The infamous Wolfie B. The gangster rapper of TV news commentators. You don't be dissing the Wolfie B or he'll put a cap in your ass. But at any rate, Will, I am about to debut your news theme, and then right after you hear the theme, boys and girls, it's time for the news. theme ran long. Go, Will.
The political universe time is 2 p.m., and here is the news. New sanctions will be imposed on Iran. This is from a unanimous vote from the United Nations Security Council on the basis that Iran is not agreeing to stop enriching uranium. What is included in the ban is that Iran will not be able to export arms. Also included in the sanctions is the freezing of 28 Iranian individual accounts. The United States representative to the United Nations, Alejandro D. Wolf, said, quote, "The unanimous passage of Resolution 1747 sends a clear and unambiguous message to Iran that the regime's continued pursuit of a nuclear weapons capability will only further isolate Iran and make it less, not more, secure," end quote. He went on to say that the sanctions were, quote, "in no way to punish the people of Iran," end quote. In other news, Tehran is claiming that the British sailors that were captured on Friday have confessed to straying into Iran's territorial waters the other day. Tehran has described the situation as, quote, "blatant aggression," end quote. Britain has demanded the return of the sailors and denies that they strayed into Iranian waters. The incident started early Friday morning when British sailors were in two inflatable rafts searching a merchant ship for smugglers. They later came into contact with an Iranian vessel. The 15 soldiers include 8 Royal Navy sailors and 7 Royal Marines. General Ali Reza Afshar, Iran's top military official, said that the prisoners, quote, confessed to illegal entry, end quote. Both British Foreign Secretary Margaret Beckett and the Ministry of Defense claimed that the soldiers were in Iraqi waters when the incident occurred. Yesterday, the House of Representatives voted by 6 votes to impose a deadline to pull troops out of Iraq. The 218 to 212 vote is the first by the House of Representatives to withdraw the troops by next year. President Bush called their action as, quote, "political theater," end quote, and vows to veto any such bill that may reach his desk. The legislation, which is part of a $124 billion package, would help pay for wars this year, but mandate that the soldiers be brought home by September 2008. The soldiers could be brought home earlier if the Iraqi government could not meet certain goals. President Bush has reaffirmed his support for Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez. This comes after when 280 pages of emails and other documents that were released. Critics argue that the latest documents released only reinforce the idea of having the Attorney General be removed from his position. Democrats claim that the new evidence shows that Gonzalez was more involved in the situation than he previously claimed to be. The White House denies that the documents conflict to the Attorney General's statements made earlier. White House Press Secretary Dana Perino said that, quote, "the president continues to have support for the attorney general," end quote. She went on to say that, quote, "as the Justice Department said last night, these new documents do not conflict with its previous statements," end quote. At a press conference on Saturday, Senator Charles Schumer from New York said that, quote, "how could the attorney general say he never had a discussion about where things stood when he attended an hour-long meeting on that very subject," end quote. He continued to say that, quote, "today I am renewing my call for Attorney General Gonzalez to step down. More than any other cabinet official, the Attorney General must tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but. And the more facts come out, it seems the Attorney General is not coming out clean with what went on in the Justice Department," end quote. On Friday, a former high-ranking official within the Department of the Interior pled guilty in his role in the Jack Abramoff scandal. Former Deputy Secretary Stephen Griles' troubles began when he lied to investigators about his relationship with Jack Abramoff on October 20, 2005, and lied under oath in Senate hearings regarding Indian affairs on November 25, 2005. The former Deputy Secretary is the 9th person convicted in the scandal and pled guilty to 1 count of obstruction of justice in front of a district judge. Griles went on to say in a statement before the judge that, quote, "I am sorry for my wrongdoings, and I fully accept the responsibility for my conduct and the consequences it may have. When a Senate committee asks questions, they must be answered fully and completely, and it is not my place to decide whether those questions are relevant or too personal. I apologize to my family, my friends, and the committee and its staff," end quote. Federal prosecutors agreed to a sentence of no more than a 10-month ruling as per the plea agreement. For now, 3 other Republican lawmakers are being scrutinized, by the department that include Representative John Doolittle of California, former Senator Conrad Burns of Montana, and former House Majority Leader Tom DeLay of Texas. And you are listening to The Political Universe on Blog Talk Radio. Now back to Jason Easley.
Thanks, Will. And now it is my pleasure to bring in our very, very first guest, our very first interview on the program. a person who I'm proud to consider a friend and one of the best writers you can find on 401 Mania.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the one, the only, he may be a week late, but at least he's here now, George Saroy. George.
There you are.
Are you on the show?
Yes, I am.
There you are.
Yes,
I am.
The
collars.
All right.
I muted the wrong collar. And
finally made it in.
2 weeks in, and you're here.
Yes, I am.
You know, I was just waiting for the president to come down and fly a mission accomplished banner over the 411 Mania homepage when I got your phone call.
Oh, please, don't associate me with that mission accomplished banner, please.
Ashish will proclaim mission accomplished at 411.
Yeah, at this time it should be like a little banner underneath it saying, we mean it this time.
We mean it. He's really, I almost put in the promo tag this week, he's really, really going to be here. We're serious. So, how are you, George?
I'm doing fantastic. It's great to be here.
Oh, it's wonderful. I hope you will come on as often as you want because you are a man of many interests. You're a fascinating person to at least swap email with. And before we really get started, we need to promote something, I believe.
Yes. We are doing very, very well on our latest adventure, which is a trip to the land of MySpace. We are now, we have now been on MySpace for about a month now, for almost a month, and we've already racked up over 300 friends.
Wow.
And it's really been terrific. The site has been, it started out a little rusty, but then we, gave it a nice overhaul, and we got it looking great, and we've gotten a lot of really good feedback from our readers, from our fellow writers, from all of our zones.
The problem for people who aren't really familiar with 411 Mania is this is a massive website.
It really is.
And there's a lot of moving parts. So when you're going to do something that's going to span the entire website or cross promote within different zones of the website,
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of work involved.
and
there's a lot of things that can go wrong at any given second.
But I do have to say, I do have to give give a shout out to our another columnist of ours who is in the trenches, Will Helm from Misunderstood Masters.
Yes.
He has been just a godsend regarding the setting up and maintaining of this MySpace page because he's been doing a little thing called the Daily 411 in the blog entry part, and he has just been terrific with that. He's been able to basically give everybody a quick rundown of what's going on at the site, and we've already gotten a lot of readers that have subscribed to that blog so that they know immediately what's going on.
I've offered, and I will gladly offer again, that anytime you need me to write things up from the politics zone, I'll be glad to do it.
I keep telling you,
whatever you need me to do, I will do.
And I will definitely
because I know that you're so busy getting this off the ground.
Yeah.
That you want to get a basic format and structure established. And then you can sort of see where the gaps are. Coming from somebody who came into the politics zone when there were maybe four or five or six writers on the staff,
oh, yeah.
you need a little time, at least in my opinion, to sort of to get the lay of the land.
Definitely.
And then you can start thinking about where you want to take things.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So,
I've already gotten Larry Zonka on board from...
Oh, you got Larry.
Yeah, the editor of the Wrestling Zone.
See, George, I don't know if you're aware of this.
Yes.
But I believe Leonard... From the movie zone?
Yes, Leonard
Harry. Larry from wrestling and me from politics, we're all basically from or have lived in southwestern Pennsylvania.
You're kidding.
We're all, that's, Larry, yeah, Larry spent part of his life, I believe, in the Pittsburgh area.
Yes, and I believe Larry is doing a screening of Plan 9 from Outer Space
in the
near future.
Yeah, Leonard is I believe Leonard is here in southwestern Pennsylvania, kind of close to out where I grew up, actually.
Wow.
About a few minutes away from where I grew up, I believe, is where he is. I'm not sure about that because I never actually, got a hold of Leonard and said, hey, Leonard, where are you at?
Right.
I just read usually in his column, he made reference stuff like the convention they would have in Butler and the stuff in Pittsburgh, and I thought, he's in the area.
I know. Like for the most part, my dealings with Leonard have been the fact or fiction that we just recently did, and also just every now and then, Leonard, I can't make the column this week.
Yes, the editor's nightmare.
Exactly, but for the most part, I got to give him credit. You know,
George, you do. I do a twice weekly news report in the Politics Zone.
Yes.
You basically started about 3 weeks ago, maybe four now. Your UBS news report.
I started it actually. I started it in February.
Oh, did you? Okay.
What happened was Avery Chan, who did the Tasty Evil TV news on Thursdays, he decided that he needed a break. You know. Not going to go into that, but more
power to him. The other word that editors hate to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He had done a terrific job basically carrying on the legacy of the Thursday news report that Chris Murphy started beforehand. You know, like these guys have been, you know, just constant hit getters.
Yeah.
And both Leonard and the boss sent me an email inviting me to take over the Thursday news slot. And I was sitting at my desk just like reading the email. I was looking around to see if somebody else was over my shoulder.
Who, me?
Like, me?
Exactly. It was really interesting how when our editor left the Politics Zone, what happened was we didn't have an editor for the longest time, and Ashish, the site editor, was basically overseeing us. And pretty soon, though, I had never actually emailed Ashish for anything, but pretty much the first year I'd been there. And all of a sudden, though, writers would have questions or issues, other guys on the staff, and they'd send them to me.
Yeah.
And then I would talk to Ashish. And Ashish said, well, you've taken the leadership role, so now I guess you're the editor.
Yeah. It's just one of those things that happens.
I was like, thanks for the promotion, even though it's just sort of more work and a title. But you know what, being editor, I had no problem writing under Dave Schilling, the former editor. I have no problem being part of the staff.
Yeah.
But I did have ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew what our zone could be. I don't think it's there yet, but I knew what we could do. And
I gotta say, it's really become a force to be reckoned with. I think, like on the
we're a bunch of site. Nerdy, serious politics boys who will whip ass.
And it's great. You know, like I think it's great. It gives a little something extra to read every day.
Yeah, we know going in. I mean, I explain this to everybody that comes by there. I've talked to you about it because you guest post. On a fairly, I'd say about once every 3 or 4 months, you usually put something up.
Every now and then.
When there's something going on, like 4 or 5, 6 times a year, you'll have something up in our zone.
Yeah.
And I explained to you, we know that people that come to our site are interested in movies, music, wrestling, sports.
Wrestling.
Politics is a niche kind of thing.
Yeah.
The people that are into it are passionate, crazy, cult-like.
Oh, yeah.
They're hardcore.
Oh yeah, you know, I mean, that was I will never forget for the 2004 election.
You're
the day after Election Day, I basically did a column that just got every bit of my frustration out, and I posted it. And within 2 hours of that post going up, I must have gotten about 15 pieces of hate mail.
Yeah. Yeah.
All of a sudden, I realized we have conservative readers. Okay.
Yeah. You know, I basically spent a lot of time kind of trying to get a feel for how our readers break down. And
yeah.
My best guess is because the site was originally a wrestling site, and the majority of the traffic there,
yeah.
It comes through the wrestling zone.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's the vast majority. It's not even, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The wrestling zone is still the workload carrier.
Yeah.
And the rest of us kind of supplement that content, but the thing is, what you realize is most wrestling fans are on the liberal side of things.
Yeah,
they fall left. Our political readership, I would say, probably goes 66-33 liberal left leaning.
Mm-hmm.
The conservative minority is pretty small, but is very vocal.
Very vocal.
And we don't necessarily shout them down. We give them a forum to come in and yell about anything they want. I mean, I try.
Which I think is fantastic because, I mean, like, we have guys, it's, you know, like, on the forum.
Yeah.
You know, we have some guys that consider themselves conservative and everything who know exactly which buttons to push.
Yeah.
And push them hard.
Yeah.
And I give them kudos and everything for knowing exactly what they're doing.
The problem
because they're basically starting arguments.
The problem with some of those guys are we've consistently, as me and others, have invited them into the Politics Zone to kind of post them on the main site. And the forum's like its own little island.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
So we wouldn't mind having them come over and even guest post.
Yeah.
But they don't seem to want to go there. And I don't know if they're leery of, like, me, and maybe I'm a giant flaming liberal, which I'm not. But,
right.
You know, I always make the offer. The funny thing was, when I first started posting there, people tried to argue with me, and I was basically having some fun and just talking away, because I was having a good old time. And somebody eventually said, hey, you really know your stuff. And then somebody else posted, he should. He's the guy that runs the politics out. And then my cover was blown.
Nice.
And I had to kind of sulk away.
I mean, but
I did have that username, J.M. Eastley.
Right, yeah.
You know, I thought maybe that was going to throw some people, because that's only my name.
Right. And that's the thing. It's just like there are a lot of people that, you know, just decide to, you know, hide behind, you know, their own,
yeah,
you know, their own.
Yeah, and
yeah,
I don't begrudge. We have lots of staff that write under a pen name for various reasons.
Oh, of course.
And some of it's professional, because in some of their jobs they really can't voice their views on certain areas, whether it's political or movies or any view they might have. They feel that they can't really cross that line.
Right.
And some of it's personal. Some people just don't want you to know them.
Yeah.
But let me look. Oh, okay. Hey, Will.
Yes.
Are you? I wondered if you were on the line.
Yes, I'm still on the line.
I had you on one. You didn't say anything. I thought, well, he fell asleep.
No, I didn't.
Much like our, well, you know, we're hoping to break double digits in readers this week, George. You're going to carry us to new heights.
Hey, strap on to me, boys. Here we go.
We're just going to hop on George, and George is going to carry us to the mythical 10 listener live level. Okay, now, George, Will's a big movie fan.
Yes.
Will's a big movie fan.
A huge movie fan.
I'm a movie fan.
Yes.
I'm not as big as, let's say, Will or yourself, who's almost you are a movie expert.
the funny thing is that, you know, like there are many times when somebody will tell me, you know, like somebody will introduce me to someone and they'll point out to me and say, like, he knows every line from every movie ever made. And then they'll immediately say, do you know this line from this? And I'm like, no, I don't.
Yeah, when people put you on the spot, it's
wrong. And scattered.
You just lose it, you know.
Yeah.
It's like a superpower that you can't control.
Exactly.
But remember, boys, if we save the cheerleader, we do save the world.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So, okay, now my question to both of you is, what's your favorite political movie?
That's a good question.
That is
a documentary, but it has to be a fictional film. And I threw this up to both of you like 2 weeks ago, so you better have an answer.
I have a few favorites.
Okay.
I definitely have a few favorites. And each of them seems to have their own, you know, particular agenda and also their particular portrayal of the president. One that people don't really consider to be a political film, but is, in fact, very, very political, would be Clear and Present Danger.
Okay.
I thought that the way that the administration is shown in that film really kind of mirrors a lot of what is going on right now. There are more people that are there that are just kind of leading the president along, while the president is throwing in his two cents about different things. There are these different people like Cutter and Ritter that are basically carrying the load for him, that are doing a lot of different things basically behind his back, and there's a point that he really doesn't even want to know about what's going on.
Okay, hey, Will, now for you, Will, what's do you have a favorite politically themed movie? Or maybe maybe a presidential movie, or you know what I mean?
Well, there's Fahrenheit 9/11.
That's a documentary.
I know, it's a documentary.
Count.
I know.
It's a documentary. It's a documentary made for entertainment purposes, which means we shouldn't let a few jump-to-conclusion elements ruin a good story.
Right.
But what's your favorite?
Oh, that's a good question.
No, you have one. I know you have one, and I can almost – I'll tell you what it is.
Okay.
Yeah, I know, because you talk about this movie all the time. The movie Glory.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to get into, like, Civil War-related Lincoln-themed movies, yeah, I mean, okay, we'll give you Fahrenheit 9/11. What else? What else have you got for me?
Well, obviously, as you said, there's Glory. I couldn't think of any other one.
We put him on the spot. See what happens? You put somebody on the spot, George, and it goes.
To tell you the truth, I don't remember you asking me the question before.
I asked you the question. You were probably drunk, but
No, I don't remember.
You start talking about movies when we're sipping on some rum sometimes, and you probably have no idea. but I don't think you actually listen anyway.
Wasn't this how Scooter Libby was drilled?
Yeah. This is how Scooter Libby actually ended up being indicted. Well. Yeah, so you know, you just go, I don't remember.
I don't remember really after
that. I don't remember you asking that. Now, okay, I gotta ask. This is not a movie question, but it's kind of a political question. What is a political question?
Okay.
Each of you, mm-hmm. Who's your favorite president, George?
My favorite president?
All time.
Hmm.
See, I got you on one now.
You definitely got me.
Will have an answer for this one. He's loaded up and ready.
Okay. I was brought up a Democrat, but I was also brought up as a Democrat with my eyes open. So I definitely – there were definitely, like, different facets of different presidents that I really do, you know, like, respect and really do mm-hmm. appreciate.
Well, let me just shift the question a little bit. As growing up in your political learning,
yes.
Has there been a president or a public official that, like, motivated you or inspired you and said, okay, this is why I like politics?
Well, I'll actually kind of flip that around a little bit. You know, like when I watched the 2004 Republican convention,
mm-hmm.
that was a reason for me to not like politics because I was, you know, I mean, I live in New York and everything. It just happened to be one of my days off when 9/11 happened. Thankfully, I was nowhere near the towers. I was based over at, was working over by Madison Square Garden. And when I was watching the Republican convention, I got literally ill from the way that different widows and families and everything of 9/11 were basically brought up for photo opportunities on the stage, and it just felt like everything that had happened, that whole, you know, like that whole tragic event was politicized.
Yeah.
And it really made me sick. And as soon as they did a moment of silence and they started singing Amazing Grace, I turned the television off. I was like, I cannot take this.
Yeah, I think that there's always been a problem with this administration and this Republican Party believing that 9/11 was theirs.
Right.
Right.
It shouldn't be anybody's.
Yeah.
And that's prohibited a serious discussion about the problems that led to 9/11 and the inadequacies that we still suffer today security-wise without it. But mm-hmm. before I get on, that would be a whole other three-hour show.
Right.
Because that's a pet peeve. Right. Will.
Yes.
Favorite president, politician who inspired you to like politics, same question.
Hands down, Abraham Lincoln.
I knew that was coming a mile away. And why, Will?
Well, I'm not going to go into the reasons why.
Give me a couple of reasons why you think Lincoln was the greatest ever.
Because he was president during a time when the country was, when the Constitution had never been so tested before. The country was splitting apart. They were dealing with the issue of slavery, and he basically, the war took a toll on him. The American Civil War took a huge toll on him. I mean, if you look at the pictures. If you look at the pictures of how he aged throughout his presidency, you know, you had the pictures beforehand. He looked very young, very energetic, and then basically by the end of the war, right before his untimely death, he just looked like, you know, he was about to just lose it.
Perhaps.
He just looked like he aged 20 years in a period of 8 years.
Well, you could almost say the exact same thing, gentlemen, about Bill Clinton before and after the Monica Lewinsky scandal.
Oh, yeah. Yes, definitely.
And same thing with George W. Bush about the Iraq War. You know, as much as I think the people on our little panel here mm-hmm. will not exactly be going out and buying their Bush-Cheney bumper stickers anytime soon, I still believe that Bush has taken this war very personally.
Oh, definitely.
And you can tell that the casualties, the wounded, the losses get to him. They're eating him up.
And it's more of that, though. It's more than just, you know, like more than just what's going on over there. It's a lot of what's going on over here.
Yeah.
Because you have this overwhelming majority of people that are saying, we don't want this anymore.
Yeah.
And, you know, like we understand what had happened and everything, and we need to figure out a way to get out. And putting more troops in is not necessarily the answer.
Exactly. I don't know this side of I can't really think of any other instances. Usually when presidencies have crises, I mean Jimmy Carter with the Iran hostage crisis, it's the same sort of example.
Yes.
The same sort of process occurs, the personalization of the conflict.
Yeah.
Now, this is for you, George. Mm-hmm. One favorite political movie.
Favorite political movie.
Yeah, if you had to sit down for an evening, and you wanted a person to watch one movie with a politics theme or a politician theme, what would it be?
I would say one that I really, really enjoyed was 13 Days.
Oh, that's a good choice.
I really enjoyed that. That was something that, you know, like once you get past Costner's attempt to do a New England accent, then it's golden the rest of the way. I thought that it was just a really great, you know, like good feeling film, and that really has a very bittersweet ending, obviously, because you see this administration come through in such a dramatic way that you believe that, okay, we got through this, anything is possible now. And obviously the next year that was cut short.
Yeah.
But It really was a very underrated film.
Yeah.
That I think should get a little bit more credit than what it already has.
Okay, boys, we're heading into the last 3 minutes of the show today. I'm gonna throw you a softball.
Okay.
This summer, this is for both of you. This mm-hmm. summer, the big blockbuster's coming up. What one film are you most looking forward to seeing? Is there one out there that makes you go, I'm going to the theater that day?
It's difficult to say if there's one. You know, like
you're having trouble picking one.
I got a two.
You're gonna cheat again and give me like three.
I have a double-headed sword here. Okay. I have Spider-Man 3.
Yeah.
Which I am very much looking forward to, and the whole time I'm just, you know, praying, please don't suck, because of the basic rule that, you know, that the second films in these comic trilogies are always the high point, and then the third one is always a low point.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that this one kind of breaks that chain. And as a fan, as a fan, growing up with this since I was a kid, Transformers is definitely up there.
Couldn't tell. If you visit George's personal MySpace page.
Yeah. Yeah. You'll see Optimus Prime basically looking right at you.
Okay. Will, anything coming out this summer that you definitely want to see?
Probably again, Spider-Man 3.
Yeah, yeah. I think I will make it universal. I am a huge Batman fan. Mm-hmm. Spider-Man was always lower down on my list. Not way lower down. He's in the upper third. But these movies have been incredible. I love Sam Raimi movies. I think with the introduction of Venom, they need to do this. This is the movie that's going to make or break the whole series.
Oh yeah. And from what I understand, this is going to be the last one of this, at least of this trilogy, because I know Toby has already said that he only wants to do three. But at the same time, you really have to take what people say this day and age with a grain of salt,
because that he had a three-picture deal coming in.
Yeah, if he gets enough money and everything,
yeah.
and if they sweeten the pot with like about three other, you know, like really good roles in three indie films, he'll take it.
Yeah, and I happen to think that he would be sort of foolish right now to leave that franchise.
Yeah. I mean, it's a gold mine, and there's so much more that they have to cover.
He hasn't really come out with another role, although he was good in the Horsey movie.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed that. The Biscuit, I believe.
Horsey movie.
The Horsey movie. except for that, he hasn't really had a role lately that would separate him from Spider-Man to the point where they feel like he could go off and do something else.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, guys, we're down to the last minute of the show. It's time for this part of the show. Will hates. Will.
Yes.
here's the question that you don't want to answer. Alberto Gonzalez, give me the day he will be fired, month and day.
Oh, gosh, month and day.
For George next. So you got to be fast, Will. No stammering around like normal.
About, let's say, next week. No, let's go 2 weeks from Monday.
Okay, George, Alberto Gonzalez, dead man walking, he will be fired.
Actually thinking more towards the end of April. I'm thinking April 30th.
You thinking he's going to make the whole way to congressional testimony?
I think he's going to get through it, and I think that's going to wind up being his downfall.
By the way, George, Will's not going to be here next week. He has a meeting. I need a co-host if you would like to come in and sit down for the whole hour and do the
Absolutely.
Show.
Absolutely.
I'll talk to you this week.
All right.
Look, I'm early. Will usually stammers around. I have to start this about a minute before the end of the show.
Okay.
We have an extra 15 seconds to fill.
All right.
Wow, it's party time. Okay, guys, least favorite movie. Real quick, off the top of your head. movie that made you hate things.
Failure to Launch.
Okay. And that's the end of the show, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we got a little bit more time. Is it still going? It's still going. It says I don't have a show, but it's still recording. Will, least favorite movie?
Well, the one I just saw recently, I'd have to say, then I shut off in the middle, 2001 Space Odyssey.
I got bored
to death with that.
You have no taste, and I don't know why I'm your friend. That's it for the show this week, guys. George and I will be here next week. We'll be off playing Civil War Soldier. See you next Sunday at 1:30. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.